This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again on Old Dan, blazing the heart, blazing the path, cutting away the briars, cutting away the bushes, cutting away all that clutters up the heart of our individual out there today who is blinded by Satan. Many have come up under false teachings and false those things, and they're just deceived. Just folks are just deceived. And the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what we're doing here, preaching God's word, preaching the truth as it is to men as they are, letting the chips fall where they may. We don't compromise God's word to keep our congregation together. No, we don't smooth up the gospel to keep from offending old Aunt Jenny or Uncle Tom. We don't do that. No, sir. We let the chips fall where they may, my friend, on the Old Trailblazer broadcast. So we're happy to have you with us at this time. We're looking there now in the study of Revelation at the apostate church. The church that's we're living in today. That's the apostate church. It'll get worse, of course. But we're looking there, and we were looking at Babylon, the old sin city of Babylon, and the things that came out of Babylon. I want to go back. I mentioned this in our last study of the false cults and false things that came out of Babylon that we're still living with today. And I want to give you two illustrations of how Satan, through the idolatrous teaching of Babylon, have influenced the whole world of so-called Christendom. And the average individual today, religiously blinded to what's taking place. They just don't see it. Let us take, for instance, this annual event that we call Christmas. Oh, it's a definite, it is definite that Christ was not born on the 25th of December. Christmas is a demon, pagan, Babylonish festival. It's a celebration of what they call the birth of the sun god. They place the birthday on the 25th of December, which marks the day when the sun reaches its farthest point south. Then this was colored with Christianity by calling it the birthday of the Son of God. I don't believe that born-again believers have any right to celebrate that day. I know many do. I mean, I have friends who do. I don't get mad with you, but I believe that you have missed the point, and it's just you're just missing the boat. This heathen worship of Babylon has permeated every so-called Christian home over this nation, except one here and one there who have seen the truth of God's word, been enlightened, and I praise the Lord for that. Now, let me call your attention to another heathen worship that came out from old Babylon, and that is what we call Easter, our spring goddess of spring. Easter is not a Christian name. It means Ishtar, one of the names of the Babylonian queens of heaven whose worship by the children of Israel was such an abomination to God. The decree for the observance of Easter and Lent was given in 519 A.D., This was a heathen festival of spring, governed by the new moon, and has nothing to do, nothing in the world to do with a born-again believer. When once the born-again believer understands such pagan, heathen worship, he'll separate himself from it completely. Now, may I say here that Christ was crucified on Wednesday, not on Friday. Now, hold your taters there, hold your seat, we're going to jump a creek. He was buried on Wednesday evening at sundown. His body was in the grave for 72 hours, 3 days, and 3 nights, according to prophecy. He arose on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Oh, my friend, all our religious publishing houses have catered to this fast-growing Babylonian idolatrous worship, providing Christmas songs, Christmas pageants, Easter songs, Easter paraphernalia, which indicates that we have only an empty shell and empty religion. Now, I want to get just a little bit sarcastic. I don't have a clue to where they came up with the Easter bunny. I don't. But I was raised on a farm out here in South Louisiana, hunted in the woods for varmints, for possums and rabbits and coons all my life. And I never have seen a rabbit lay an egg. No, a rabbit don't lay an egg, my friend. And how we have duped our children into believing all that stuff, all this is paving the way for the acceptance of the soon coming of the Antichrist. Let me call your attention to that sixth verse that we saw. Another one, I saw a woman drunken with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. All through the ages, the unsaved religionists have persecuted and put to death the children, the born-again ones of God. Regardless of what title they have carried or what church they were affiliated with, no one, No one form of religion without Christ can accuse justly any other form of religion without Christ of putting to death or persecuting unto death God's children. This is taking place even today, where any form of religion has political power. Even where they do not have political power, the unsaved religionists of all sects or all denomination persecute born again ones. I wish you'd read, if you don't have it, get it, Fox's Book of Martyrs, back there in the early days, back there in England especially, how did John Bunyan's days, old John Bunyan, great old man of God, he had to preach in the dark in the top of a house, my friend, in the top of a barn. He'd have 8 or 10 folks come there, and they wouldn't have no light because of persecution. They put them to death. But listen now, in the 5th verse of that 17th chapter, we find these words. I want you to listen. And upon her head, her forehead, was a name written, talking about the Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. We've often been asked that question, will we ever have a united Christendom? That is, will all the churches and all denominations and creeds ever get together under one head or one organization? And may it surprise you. It may surprise you. But the answer is yes. The answer is yes. You'd think I was going to say no, didn't you? The question is when? The answer is during the tribulation period. Oh, after Christ has come and taken out of this earth all born-again believers, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16, there's a great movement in that direction now. Now, my friend, all of these world churches and ecumenical movements and all of those things among the Protestant denomination to unite into one body under one controlling head. The only thing you find a rebel, one here and one there, that won't stand for it. But they will stand when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in midair and takes out all of this world, born-again believers of this world, from every denomination. And brother, that's the only kind he's going to take. Blood bought, blood washed. Them, all them, my friend, all them, and then all religious bodies, Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, and heathen, with all those religious cults, will line up under one head, and that head will be the Antichrist. And I thank the Lord, I praise the Lord, I stop here and thank the Lord that I won't be here. I asked you, will you be here? I asked you, were you going to be here? Are you saved, my friend? Could the old trailblazer just ask you? Are you planning on going to hell? Would you rather suck the tit of the world and go on out into eternity lost than to turn to the Lord? You say, Pastor, how can I turn? Turn! Turn! The Bible says strive to enter in. We don't have anybody striving. We don't have anybody contending for the faith. No. We get up on Sunday morning. Our folks do as a whole. Our nation does as a whole. Puts on the Sunday go-to-meeting clothes and goes to church. And may go for just church. Don't go for Sunday school. Or may go just for Sunday school. Don't go for church. And my man, if you're doing that, you ought to be hung up by your heels. Going to Sunday school and then leave. We had a woman used to play the piano for us in New Orleans. And as soon as the 11 o'clock singing service was over, she'd get up and leave. And the preacher who was there then, before I became the pastor, he asked me one day, he said, would you answer me a question? I said, well, I will if I can. He said, why would this woman play the organ or the piano for the 11 o'clock singing service and then get up and walk out, blatantly walk up, everybody in church saw her leave out the back door? I said, I can tell you why. Blind as a bat. Blind as a bat. Lost as a goose in a whirlwind. My friend, there's no use of buttering it up. No, well, you know, she might have had a headache. No, she didn't have a headache 52 weeks out of the year. She just would not stay for the preaching. She had some sort of, I'm sure she had an excuse, but listen, she didn't have a baby. She didn't have nothing. She had a dog, but I don't know about the rest of it. But, oh, my friend, listen now. Let's look again there at that 8th verse. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. This beast here is the Antichrist that we studied back there in the 13th chapter, who was killed and resurrected and given great power. The whole world will worship this beast except God's elect. There you are, folks. There you are. You hear that word, God's elect? My friend, are you one of God's elect? Well, I don't really know. If you'd come to Christ, you'd find out. You come to Christ, you'd find out. Listen, it is largely this group of churchmen left behind at the coming of our Lord who thought they were saved and were not, who will be the first to welcome the Antichrist and enthrone him as the head of all religion. Now, isn't that going to be a sad day? Isn't that going to be a sad day when these poor fools welcome in the Antichrist? Let's notice that 16th verse. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, the religious harlot, and shall make desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put into their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God should be fulfilled. We notice in verse 12 that these 10 horns are 10 kings, and these 10 kings will give their power unto the beast, because the 13th verse says, they have one mind, and shall have great power and strength. Whose these 10 kings are, the word not say, but they may be living today. The 14th verse tells us why they give their power to the beast in these words. These shall make war with the Lamb. Did you notice those words? There is a definite, organized effort through the Antichrist to make war with the Lamb, the coming Lord Jesus. Now, when the beast comes into such power, we are told in the 16th verse, he with these 10 kings will turn upon this religious harlot and make her desolate, strip her naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. The reason they do this is because God puts it in their mind to fulfill his will. And listen, God's will is that this religious Babylon, which is all idolatrous worship in any form or fashion, shall be utterly destroyed, lock, stock, and barrel. All of her buildings will be burned, her leaders put to death, and every semblance of Christianity shall be utterly wiped off of the face of the earth. The beast, the Antichrist, means to literally destroy every semblance, every earmark of Christianity, even though it's false, and even in this place he shall set himself up as God and command everyone to worship him as God. There are only two kinds of religion in the world today. One is the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father by those who have been redeemed. The other is a form of religion. It's Christless, my friend. It's Christless. Oh, listen, it's just Christless. And we're going to see that in our further study. Day by day in our next study, we're going to begin to look at the fall of Babylon. The fall of old Babylon, my friend. Isn't that going to be an interesting study? I believe it will be. And let me just read you a verse there. It says in the 18th chapter, after these things refers to the 17th chapter, where Mystery Babylon the Great, mother of harlots and abomination to the earth, set forth picturing the apostate Christian. We're going to leave it right there until our next study. I wish you'd holler back across the fence next time and say, the old trailblazer's coming on over there, folks. Y'all ought to perk up and listen. Perk up your ears and listen. He's bringing God's message day by day. You don't compromise God's word with nobody, no matter who they are or what they are. And that's true, my friend. Then I wish you'd pray for me. Pray for me. And if you would, go there to my website, radiomissions.org. You can find out where you can hear the live broadcast every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And same message, my friend. God has only one message, that Christ died for sinners. Man is a sinner. Christ died for sinners. I never get tired of saying that. Do you? Folks ask me, isn't it hard to preach? No, sir. No, sir. It's not hard at all. Oh, maybe your body may be tired and weary, but your mind wants to get out and get the gospel. So perchance some poor soul may hear the gospel. Remember, my mailing address, the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Goodbye and God bless you.